Welcome back to Channel 9 Live here at the Build Conference. I'm Brian Keller, and I'm joined here today by my two good friends, Vishal Joshi and Jonah Sterling. Vishal, I think a lot of people probably know you already from Web Matrix and a lot of the other projects you've worked on. How else should we know you? How long have you been at Microsoft?
Close to 7.5 years now, I think.
Excellent. And a lot of people may not know Jonah. He's the guy behind Scott Guthrie's beautiful PowerPoint deck. So if you've seen any of his presentations in the last few years, Jonah's the guy that makes him look awesome. But you also have another day job, which is that you are, what do you call yourself, the UI designer for the new portal?
Yes, I'm the principal UX manager. So I have a team of about 20 designers, and we do things like the Windows Azure portal and pretty much any pickup project that Scott happens to throw our way.
You guys stay pretty busy then.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the new Windows Azure portal, Microsoft Azure portal. You guys are going to catch
right.
me on that,
Dollar
right?
Dollar in the jar.
The Microsoft Azure portal. So we sat for the first time today in Scott's keynote. Bill Staples came out. He did this awesome demo. Really have been dying to talk to you guys to learn more about how this came about. First of all, the elephant in the room. A lot of people are probably wondering, why a new portal? You've done this to me like 2, 3, 4 times now, right? So why a new portal, Vishal?
So fundamentally, what we have been thinking is that cloud has grown pretty rapidly in past few years. And we started thinking about the fact that new cloud applications, the way they are built, requires reimagining the experience, because today you build applications which consume so many services, right? Whether they are dev services or like, you know, platform services, infrastructure services. All of these services, you go to several different places to go and experience that, but now it is time to actually go ahead and imagine them together, and how would it look like if you want to build modern applications. And we had portals, granted, we already had the most beautiful portal in the world for cloud, and we had other portals too, which were nice, Visual Studio Online and stuff. It was just going to feel too crammed up with this growing cloud. So we had to reimagine something which was centered around apps as opposed to resources, and centered around people as opposed to, again, resources and stuff like that. So that is why we had to come up with this new thing.
That's great. And I will say I've been working with your team for a few weeks now. And the first day or two, I was kind of trying to get my bearings and figure out exactly what's going on. So I thought maybe what we would do is actually start off a little bit and just go through some of the UI here. And if we could just switch over the demo screen, maybe I'll let you guys drive and just tell me a little bit about what I'm going to see when I first log in to day one.
Yeah, so what you see on day one is the start board. Most important thing to note is that it is 100% customizable. You can change it, make it feel, and make it your own. So you can right-click, customize. You can make these things, like, for instance, make this wide, which makes it look like that, or like make it your own. That's what is most important thing. We know we couldn't have built this specifically on prescription. It has to be something which is very, very personal. So that is one key important thing to note. The pieces over here, we call them parts. On the left side are what we call as hubs. Those are kind of horizontal services which tie into all the vertical services. For instance, notification. You want to get just one notification, no matter whether, one place to see notification, no matter where it is.
Everything that's happening across my subscription, right?
Right. So these are all hubs, and we've got notification, browse, journeys. Bill kind of talked about this, but there are blades which open up, and I can show you one of the blades, for instance. Let us do browse. Oh, there you go. So this is what just happened, was that we had opened this blade during the keynote, mm-hmm. and it kind of rehydrated back to the same spot. And there's a combination of blade after blade after blade, which is actually a journey. So that's one key important piece to note. These are blades. Multiple blades make a journey. And the pieces inside this blade that you see are, again, the same parts which were there on the start board. So you can take any one of these guys into the start board, boom, it goes. Right.
That's right. And I think during the keynote, we got to see one of the existing apps from the Office developer team. And we've been working with a lot of the major adopters of Azure websites and some of these other Azure services to create kind of their dream dashboards. Maybe actually we could switch over and show the, what is this, the Skype team, right?
Yes, this is the Xbox Skype Teams dashboard. And you can see how beautiful this is how they would like to see their dashboard. Mm-hmm. And so it actually gives you an example of the kind of volume that you can do for the kind of price that it is. So, like, you know, $270 for running Skype Xbox site is, it's kind of cool.
Right, exactly, especially when you look at the number of transactions. And I love that you've brought together all of the analytics and the telemetry so I can see exactly which users are accessing my site from which browsers and when are my busiest days. I can see how autoscale is kicking in to, you know, scale up and scale down to meet my needs. So Jonah, this is pretty radically different from a lot of traditional, you know, server-side management UIs that we've seen, not just from Microsoft, but really across the industry. How did this whole design paradigm come about?
Yeah, that's a good question. So one of the things that we put at the forefront of our mind as we were actually working on the current version of Windows Azure, now Microsoft Azure, mm-hmm. is that we wanted to have a universe that was very extensible and flexible. And I thought that one of the biggest sins that we could do when we moved forward was try and predict how everybody was going to use this particular tool. So when we talked about making the visual foundation for the cloud, it was really about flexibility. And the way that we took that ended up manifesting itself in these things that look like tiles, right? But are actually, as we call them, parts. And the notion is that they're not just simply entry points into an experience, like an application in Windows 8, but really they grow, they have a way of progressive disclosure, so they get more information, they get less information, depending on what's important to you, and allows for a degree of ultimate flexibility that is going to drive how people really work, as opposed to us being presumptuous and making those calls on the user's behalf.
Sure, so you can really customize it, and like, for example, for this team that we're looking at mm-hmm. here, obviously uptime is very important to them, obviously knowing the types of browsers is very important to them, and then down here in the lower left, I don't know if people can see that, but you can see that they've pinned the specific services from Windows Azure, from Microsoft Azure, that they are using as part of their solution, so that if something does start to go wrong, they'll immediately know whether or not there's an outage in, say, SQL Azure on the West Coast. So I think that's really, really great. The other thing that I wanted to talk to you a little bit about was whether or not this is something that we can expect to see other services light up. I mean, obviously with the vCurrent portal, Azure is a great place for partners to bring their services to light and light up, you know, SaaS and PaaS offerings as well. Mm-hmm. So have you thought about how partners might plug into this over time?
Yep. Oh, absolutely. That was one of the another core premise for us. When we first came up with these concepts, that in terms of interaction, one of the first things that we got to was this notion of how do we take the gallery, how do we create the ultimate experience in extensibility mm-hmm. in the IT pro and the developer space. And so we have a framework that is very flexible and extensible that Vishal's team owns that allows us to grow, basically, to scale in a very different way than most developers think of the word scale. But it's open, it's truly flexible. When we get into the experience of the gallery, you'll be able to see a lot of opportunities for not only ourselves, but our partners to be able to light up. And Vishal has a perspective on that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this, you can already see a lot of partners are coming in. And we are going to actually like look forward to getting more and more partners into the system. In fact, we are working on an SDK, which we are going to eventually release to public. Which will allow people to just take in and like plug in and make these things just like we do.
That's great. And so I know that out of the gate, of course, this is a preview, so we should make people aware of that. Yep. And for the foreseeable future, the current portal will continue to be a place where you go to access everything else that's not in the preview, right?
True.
So help me understand then, what is the demarcation of what's available in the preview with respect to Azure Resources and what you'll have to continue to use vCurrent for?
Oh. That's actually a very easy way to find out. If you basically click on this plus, these are the primary services which right now are lit inside of the preview portal, versus the other services are still in the vCurrent portal. And
so IaaS, for example, or yes. a CDN storage account?
Yes, storage, okay. Traffic manager. It means we will be getting them. We can't get them soon enough. Everyone is excited
right.
to be in, but like we've we're working on it.
Yeah. Sure, sure.
And there's some obvious low-hanging fruit in that, where there are certain services from both PaaS and IaaS that need to be integrated pretty much as quickly as possible. In terms of hitting parity, obviously, we want to do that as quickly as we can. But one of the things that is possibly unique about our group is that we actually listen to the customer feedback very, very carefully, and that helps us determine our roadmap. And so when it comes to prioritizing those different services and extensions, a lot of times it's the community that helps us make those tough calls.
Excellent. And I know there's a feedback link off of the start board so people can start to give you that data so you can make those tough calls. Let's go to some questions we're getting straight from our viewers on Channel 9. First of all, James asks, you know, what's it going to be like for someone like him who's already familiar with the current portal to move over and transition to Microsoft Azure? And maybe let me put a finer point on that. When James goes to the new portal, will he start to see his websites and his SQL Azure databases already, or does he have to migrate those?
No, actually, you do not have to migrate anything. Most of the stuff which you are using in your current world, they should all light up automatically. So you can come in and experience the new things, whichever are over here. And for the things which are not here, you can basically go to the existing portal, which we have a link from directly over here. With one caveat that for the team projects right now, at least for some time, maybe very short period of time, not your existing team projects do not show up over here, but they will very soon. But your SQL Azure databases, MySQL, as well as websites, they should be visible both.
And so just to clarify what you just said, I think you're saying that the existing team projects that I might have had for Visual Studio Online that I created, you know, say yesterday, those will not yet show up in the portal, but anything that I create new moving forward will.
Got it.
And the other great thing about that, of course, is that even though we do expose a limited set of capabilities in the preview, you can still fall back to the other experiences in Visual Studio Online.
Yeah, and I have a follow-up. So I read James's question a little bit differently. So when we undertook the task of designing Microsoft Azure this time, one of the things that we wanted to do was ensure that there was going to be the ability for people to use as many of the same metaphors and design concepts as they move forward. So it shouldn't be too terribly hard for someone who is in love with the existing portal to be able to move their mental framework over into the new Microsoft Azure.
Great. I knew it was only a matter of time before we got this next question. So what if somebody wants to customize tile colors and separators and really go crazy with this start board? You said it was entirely customizable, so I'm going to hold you to that, Vishal.
Yes. The thing is that we definitely do envision that people will be able to do it. In fact, like some of the things are possible today. You can go in and change a theme, and you can basically say, hey, I like a different theme. So you click on it, and the theme changes. Not every bit of the UI is actually customizable, just because of the fact that we do not want people to even accidentally make it not look nice.
This isn't MySpace.
So, right.
I mean, come on.
So, so the thing is that is the reason why not everything will be, but we will basically have lots of knobs for you to go and twist to make it look make
excellent.
It your own.
I think that's the right call. So James S. now is asking, what does this replace? He's mentioning Visual Studio Online and TFS, SQL Portal, ACS, and before I let you answer, I think we should be clear that it doesn't yet replace anything yet. This is a preview today.
Yep.
But what's the long-term vision here?
I mean, as we were talking about at the very beginning, why this new portal, that kind of has an answer to it already, that you want to experience the entire life cycle of your application in a single place. So we will want to make sure that that happens. Now, granted, if you still want to go ahead and use the portals which exist today, we're not retiring any one of them. As you said, we're not replacing anything just yet. But we want to give you this new experience so that you can make your apps in the way we want to build our apps, you know?
Excellent.
So I think a good way to look at it, James, is this is a big group hug right now.
Well, speaking of group hugs, we have a great comment here from Noah Addy. Not a question, I just really love the new user interface. Just want to say great job. So
thank you.
So that's awesome, we love that, keep it coming.
Well, thank you, and shout out to my team back in Redmond who hopefully is still awake enough to be able to appreciate that comment.
Awake and sober would be nice as well.
Yeah, I was leaving out the
that's
sober
optional.
Part.
So my account is still in the Azure old portal, and how do I get started? Where do I go?
Or just log in.
And then where do I go?
Like go to portal.azure.com and just log in and you should be in.
Okay, so you have an existing subscription. What if you're brand new? What if you've never used Azure before, but you're saying, you know what, now's the time I want to get on board. Same deal?
Same deal, actually, there is one goodness to this, that if you have, if you do not have a subscription today, still you can go to portal.azure.com, log in with your Microsoft ID, and we will still have a reasonable experience for you.
Right.
You won't be able to create resources, obviously, because that is tied to a subscription, but we would actually take you to get a free subscription so that you can go ahead and get the free subscription and give it a try.
I think you get $200 credit your first month, so can't beat that. So let's talk a little bit about this this buzzword of DevOps that keeps getting tossed around. What does DevOps really mean to you, and how does that play into the way that you approach designing the new portal?
Yeah, I mean, so I think it is interesting we talk about DevOps because philosophically what we tried to do was that it's the portal is not limited to DevOps. We imagine that there are a lot more scenarios which will come in, but we wanted to take a scenario and drill down deep and make it awesome, right? Yeah. Which is the reason why we basically picked DevOps. And now, to demystify the buzzword that keeps coming over and over again, means the whole idea is that with cloud, like the boundaries between developers and IT operations is blurring. And people want to be able to build apps, get them live, get back again really quickly with the feedback and stuff like that. That needs to happen at a very rapid pace. And that is the reason why we thought that the way we do it today is you use team projects to create source code and work items and stuff like that. And then on the other end, you use App Insights for operations and monitoring and Azure to run your services. And DevOps actually is a great blend of all of these services. And that's the reason why we basically talk about DevOps and we approach this the first.
That's great. So let's actually go back to the demo here because what I've done is I've pulled up the team project that we used in the keynote this morning just to illustrate some of the concepts. And I thought maybe what you could do is walk us through this team project blade and just highlight some of the capabilities that we have that really help support DevOps.
Yeah. So the top part that you see is actually what we call as a resource map. Now the resource map part is built using what we call as the resource manager, Azure Resource Manager, which we talked about as well, the declarative model. The resource map part talks to it, finds out what your resource map looks like and paints this picture for you. So in this situation, it's actually showing me that I have a team project which is linked to a website, which means that it is continuously deploying to that website, which is great to know because you immediately want to know where all is my thing deploying to. And if you have a complex structure, you can actually customize this, make it bigger. This would become big and you will see all your connections. So that's like the top level stuff. You will notice that in our philosophy, we have this quick start and properties, which is actually everywhere. That was one of the things which Jonah is very, very adamant about across the board, that we need to have consistency no matter what where service comes from. And we've actually done that, like whether you go to Team Project or you go to SQL, you go to MySQL, anywhere, you basically will see quick start and properties. We want people to be able to create this stuff, immediately click on quick start, understand what you can do with it. The same thing with properties. You want to go to properties and get the properties out of it. So those are the top level parts which you will see almost everywhere, right? Then going down, is the repositories blade. So this actually shows that I have got one Git repository over here, right? We also support TFS repositories in case you have TFS repositories. And you can click on this repository, go into a repository blade, and then from there, so that's our quick start, right? You can click on the repository blade and go deeper into your code and jump in. There's one other very cool feature which we have implemented which is worth noting is that you can also favorite your files so that you can quickly get into those files and
web
then just
config
access it.
Yep.
It's like that's the code favorite part over here. So you can click on it, immediately go to that file, make a quick edit, be done, right?
And if you keep going, I think you'll find my favorite part here, which is the ability to just link up continuous deployment, right?
Yes. Yeah, and that particular part, what is interesting over here is that this is almost a two-way handshake, right? So from a team project, you can go ahead and set up continuous deployment to a website. Or if you have a website, you can go and reverse back and do the connection with team project. And if you are in website, we actually like also allow you to do continuous deployment with any other repository that you would like. Like for instance, you could have GitHub, right? Or you could have Bitbucket, or you could have local Git repository. Like all of those can be wired up using continuous deployment.
Visual Source Safe, you support that yet?
No.
All right, get added to the backlog. So I don't know if you paid somebody to ask this question, Vishal, but this question from the viewer, did you drop the option to open the website in WebMatrix?
No, actually, we didn't drop it. It's coming.
It's coming. All right. So if someone does want to, of course, open it in WebMatrix, they can open WebMatrix first. They can point to the Git repo, and you're good to go.
Well,
they don't
even have to point to Git repo. In WebMatrix, when you open your sites, mm-hmm. it already knows all of your Azure sites, so you can just click on it, and it would just open.
Sweet. Awesome. So, all right, I'm gonna switch gears a little bit. Talk to me a little bit about aliens. The reason I'm asking this is I've been using the portal for a while before mm-hmm. it was released. Every once in a while, you'll see this little alien pop out. Where did that come from?
Once upon a time, when we were designing the current version of Windows Microsoft Azure, we needed a placeholder icon to go in the resources pane. And I decided that, one, being an inherently sarcastic person, that a UFO would be the perfect thing because that was originally the unidentified featured object.
Ah.
And so that UFO lived in the little tiny guy lived in the left-hand pane. Since then, it gained significant popularity, shall we say. So we actually have now started referring to him as the Phalian. So when things tank.
I like it.
From which happens from time to time, whether we can predict it or not, and how much we love it or not, you may get the return of the 520, which is something that Vishal named. And had me craft the graphics for. We also have a nice T-shirt line as well as some stickers that we have to go along with.
Buy now. Actually, are you selling T-shirts? You giving them away?
If I could find a developer that could make me a website, I might be able to do that.
Excellent. All right. So that's not an HTTP status code. Where did 520 come from?
Oh yeah, that's funny. So we wanted to have earlier, as you can imagine, when we were building, things mm-hmm. used to fail quite more often. Now they don't. This is a coincidence, but we basically wanted to put error code, which was interesting, and like being geeks, we said, what is the error code that we can use, which is not used? And apparently it happens that 520 is a highway.
Mm-hmm. Right next to Microsoft.
Right next to Microsoft, and it is a bridge which almost gets clogged all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we basically said, oh, 520 stuck in traffic. People keep saying that. And so that became our HTTP 520 stuck in traffic.
That's awesome. I really, really like that. Very good. So what else can we talk about, guys? We've kind of gone through the portal. We've talked about blades. We've talked about journeys. Oh, in the keynote this morning, Bill mentioned that you can reference previous journeys. How do you expect people to kind of, you know, think about that?
Oh. So that one, I think, is a let us switch to the other one, and I'll basically tell you a little bit about it. The thing is that we wanted to have that Alt-Tab experience in the cloud. And what this actually does is that imagine that you're working, you're editing a piece of code, mm-hmm. right? And you've gone down depth enough, and then suddenly a notification comes in, which basically says your website has stopped, right? At that moment in time, you're not going to lose your work or like get rid of it. What you want to do is to click on that notification and get to that blade. But then how do you get back to the previous one? So that is the notion of switching journeys came in. And that is what this journey hub is all about over here. So you can see on the screen, if it is shared, that there are like four or five journeys which are going on. We were in the gallery first. We saw service health. So I can click on billing, and this particular journey would just go away, and we would basically switch into the billing journey. So that's kind of the notion.
That's great. You know, I have to say, having used this for a little while myself, it's easy to forget that it's a web application. You know, this really feels like one of the modern apps that you would use in Windows Phone or Windows mm-hmm. 8. Was that part of the inspiration here, Jonah?
Yeah, actually, it was. Back in the time when we really started on this for real, we took an audit of everything that Microsoft was doing from a visual design language perspective and kind of backed out from it and really looked at the UI metaphors and paradigms that were successful and tried to pull together the best of the best, mm-hmm. as it were. So there are elements in here that are going to feel very Windows 8. There are also things that are going to feel very Windows Phone. And in some ways, this actually harkens back to where the phone mentality is. Once upon a time, I worked on the showcase apps for Windows Phone when it was launched, and so I had gotten really familiar with the notion of panoramas mm-hmm. and the scrolling. And so part of the form factor of this current experience is that blades are actually set by default to the right aspect ratio to be used on a mobile device. And so when we talk about our mobile story, it's like this is actually a part of it. So you can easily imagine in your hands being able to quickly drill in through these blades, swiping through the screens as you go and being able to pan up and down. So we've inherently built with this infinite canvas the ability to have a panorama baked into it. From that point, we also took the Microsoft design language and started to push it a little bit and see where there were opportunities for us to do things like progressive disclosure, like living the breadcrumbs. So instead of launching those siloed experiences, being able to have a continuous journey that's going to enable somebody to carry their context with them as they perform their tasks.
So I haven't actually played with this on my mobile device. Does the preview work on like my Windows Phone or my iPhone?
We're working on that.
You're working on
yeah.
it. Okay, so if I try today, it'll kind of work or it'll be
no,
blocked?
No, we have blocked it because we wanted to make sure that we
great
get
experience.
It right and
yeah.
then, yep. then get it open.
But I did see somebody playing with it on their iPad. It looked pretty awesome.
Yes.
That
yeah. I think
true.
Tablets, it looks great on tablets. So yeah. like Surface, iPad, you know. In fact, it looks great on even the older tablets that mm-hmm. people may or may not use now.
My Commodore 64, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
All right, we'll go check yeah. that out.
We'll set that up as a theme for you.
So let's get geeky a little bit. What actual web technologies are you using to build this?
It's actually, it's a web developer's paradise, actually, our team is. We mm-hmm. use most latest and greatest technologies that you can think about. We've got TypeScript all the way through. Mm-hmm. Everything is built using Knockout.
Nice.
So all of this is Knockout JS. We've got Require JS that everyone uses in the beginning. We've got D3 charts, which are also open source. We have a bunch of other pieces. Means I can basically like start rattling down, but we basically have like at least 15 or 20 OSS pieces built in. And in fact, we are also contributing back to things like Knockout and stuff like that, working with TypeScript team mm-hmm. to make TypeScript even better and stuff like that. So it is fun. All those technologies are. And other than that, it is standard ASP.NET MVC, ASP.NET Web API, latest .NET. Like we are just about to move to the latest MVC too. As soon as it comes out, we'll basically switch to that. And then there is Active Directory, which is the login piece.
Security.
What else? Yeah. I think what else?
One of the areas where I think I myself and my design team got particularly lucky is that we were able to present concepts, interactions, metaphors that we could actually do. And the reason that we could do it is the team that we came to join and grow up inside of used to be the web platform team back in the day. And so we couldn't have asked for a better place to be trying to make a web-based application, because these guys knew the ins and outs and all the ways that they could make something incredibly performant within the browser.
That's great. And so, of course, we know that you know Scott Guthrie was recently promoted to the uh-huh. role that Satya vacated.
Yep.
And I'm just wondering, to what extent is Scott actually hands-on with this type of experience? Because he's a busy guy, right?
He is. Scott is a super hands-on kind of guy in general. But in the most helpful way possible. In fact, when we first started this, this is right before I met you officially, we were on a flight to Japan, and we had thought about, I kind of brought with me a quick WPF prototype that my team had whipped up, and sat down with him and went, hey, look at this cool way of doing a different take on the current Microsoft Azure. And by the end of those 2 9-hour flights, we had stayed up all night and created a PowerPoint deck that actually detailed out a lot of this experience. But even better was that he was able to coordinate with the other executives and VPs by the time we were heading back, saying, hey, these are great, this is a great concept, these are great candidate ideas that we need to move forward on. Are you with us?
That's either the best moment of your life or the scariest moment of your life when it becomes real, right? You've got to go make it happen now.
Yeah, that was, let's just call it a mixed blessing, but it ended up good in the end.
Yeah.
That is actually, that scary part reminded me that at the very beginning of this this entire project,
yep.
we used to get together and like literally paint in PowerPoint. Yeah. We used to not be afraid of anything. We would basically like think, oh, what if there was console in the cloud? And we would just draw it.
I could talk with you guys all day. This has been great. I know we have to go back to some breakout sessions, so we're going to go ahead and break and go to portal.azure.com, give us your feedback, and thanks for joining.
Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you for all of your help this week on getting that demo
ready.
Yes,
my pleasure.
That keynote work that you did was awesome. Thank you so much.
Awesome.
Thanks, buddy.